Jay, how are you this morning?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm glad to have you on because this topic we're going to talk about is perfect for me. Bush cuts tax 101. We need to talk about those tax cuts, what the changes could be in store for taxpayers. Now, according to the information that we hear in the mainstream media, these tax cuts benefit the wealthy, folks who make more than $250,000 per year. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's where the debate is. But the class tax cuts, everybody pretty much agrees that those should be extended. It's the wealthy tax cuts that are being debated.
All right. Well, tell us about this. Is it a good thing? It appears that it was a good thing for folks who own businesses because hopefully they were going to take the money that they would save from these tax cuts and put it back into their business and hire more people.
Yeah. Well, the big issue is what it does to the mindset of the consumer. And so basically, if you have a wealthier person, and the wealthy are the ones doing most of the spending now, if you basically tell them, hey, we're going to increase your taxes, is that going to make them pull back? And so it's more the argument is basically because the economy is so weak, let's not do anything that might make it worse. And allowing these tax cuts to expire just might make it worse. Now, some people say it won't, some people say it will, but a lot of people are saying, let's not even test it. Let's just let them go for, say, a year or so, come back and see where we are in, say, a year from now.
When Congress passed the Tax Relief Act in 2001, the U.S. Treasury had a surplus. Boy, I wish we were in those days again.
Yeah, the good old days.
Economists predicted it would grow to $5.6 trillion in 10 years down the road. Instead, the U.S. has an estimated deficit this year of $1.34 trillion. Comment on that.
Well, what they thought is that it was going to create jobs, and what we experienced after 2001 is known as a jobless recovery. But the problem is that the economy is so weak now, what they're saying is, let's not extend them. Now when it comes to creating jobs, demand is the very big issue and just about the only issue. Tax cuts, you know, if you have a small businessman who can expand his business, the tax rate he's going to pay, he's going to hate any rate that he has to pay. So that's not really a major factor, but in the economy, which is so weak, what they're saying is let's not try to damage anything now. And so even though we had a jobless recovery and that jobs weren't really created under these tax cuts, what they're saying now is let's just not do any more harm.
So if you had to look into your crystal ball and write a blog, how do you think this is going to turn out?
I think there are two elements. I think the state of play is with Senate Republicans. You have them worried about voting against a middle-class tax cut. If Senate Majority Leader Reid comes forward with a bill that only extends the middle-class tax cuts, if Republicans vote against that, they're going to look like they're working for the wealthy. The other issue is that you have the Tea Party coming and to the Senate Republicans saying, look, if you vote against the extension for the wealthy, which hurts small businesses, we're going to come in and have a candidate saying, look, you know what? This senator voted against tax cuts for small businesses. So, however that plays, is what's going to happen. And when the Senate acts, basically the House is going to accept what they do.
We're talking with Jay Heffner. He's the Hill senior tax reporter, and he also blogs for On the Money blog. You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS. Jay, tax is a big topic here in the state of Michigan. As I'm sure you know, we lost more than a million workers over the last couple of years. We don't have enough taxes coming in, whether it's because we don't have the businesses that we had or the people who were working to pay taxes. So that's a big issue here. In your estimation, what's the solution? Where do you find the money to get budgets balanced?
I think we're at a crossroads to where basically what you're looking at is an old economy versus a new economy. And I think that a lot of the warehouses that are empty now up in your area might be filled by green jobs. But getting those jobs going is what's really, really hurting the economy. A lot of people aren't buying electric cars now. I think when you see that sort of area take off, you might see more jobs coming.
Jay, do you anticipate that Congress or the United States Senate will start tackling this budget deficit that we have either this year or next year?
I think it's too soon to tell. I think what they want to do is tackle the deficit after the economy gets stronger. And so what the argument is now is basically, let's hold off on reducing the deficit until we have a better handle on the economy. The economy was supposed to be taking off now. Everyone's saying, wow, it's worse than we thought. So let's postpone all talk about the deficit until we get people jobs again.
Well, the information I'm seeing, Jay, isn't that the economy is going down the tubes. It's just that it's flatlined. It's really not losing much, but it's not growing. And the fear is that it will start sinking into the negative. Is there anything that's going to stabilize that for the fourth quarter of this year?
I don't think so. I think for this year, it's pretty much going to stay the way it is. And what you have to realize, too, is when you have 61,000 jobs created last month, you basically had 240,000 people looking for work. And in the next month, more people are looking for work. And so basically what you have is the unemployed are growing simply because new people are coming into the market. And so I think for the next couple quarters, you're not going to see much. The big hope that I've read is basically maybe middle of next year you might see a turnaround. But then again, they said it was going to turn around second quarter of this year. So I don't think anyone really knows right now. The big issue is getting people to actually go out and go to dinner, go to the mall, go to movies, and start moving this economy forward.
Well, right now, it looks like a lot of people are just hunkering down for the winter.
Well, that's the thing, and when you talk about the tax cuts, what you don't want to say is, by the way, you're worried about spending now. Well, the government is about to take more out of your paycheck, and if Congress doesn't act on this, paychecks will see a tax increase in the first paycheck in January.
And then if you throw on the possibility of cap and trade being added, people are really going to be tightening their belts.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see a lot of movement on that front until we get a better handle on what's going on with the economy. I know that when the energy bill passed the House, there was a lot of people upset with it. There was a CBO estimate that came out that basically said that energy bills were going to increase by like $100 and or like $30, and a lot of people on Capitol Hill were like, "Oh, that's not much money." Well, constituents were like, "No, that's a lot of money." And a lot of people didn't like it. And so I think that you're going to see a lot of those major reforms put on hold, at least till the election.
And Jay, before we let you go, tell folks about The Hill and On the Money blog.
Sure. The Hill is a newspaper that focuses on Capitol Hill, dealing with the politics of the day. On the Money blog is basically a policy blog that focuses on money issues like taxes, financial reform, and anything that basically costs the government money.
And how do they get to those websites?
If they go to www.thehill.com, at the top part of the screen, you'll see a list of blogs. On the Money is on the right-hand side of the top of the screen. And they can click on that and go to our blog.
All right. Sounds great, Jay. Thanks so much.
Thank you.